This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Since the inception of The Church of God, Christians have argued about which day is considered the Sabbath day. As many of us know, the majority of Christians call Sunday the Sabbath day, as labeled by the Roman Catholic Church. But surprisingly, if you take the time to study which day the original Christian Sabbath was, you will come to understand. Saturday is the Sabbath of your Bible. Yes, it is true. Jesus never observed Sunday as a Sabbath of rest. Instead, he maintained a personal custom, and that custom was to observe his Sabbath of rest from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. As amazing as that may sound. Clearly, the majority of the traditional Christian community is at odds with the fourth commandment, which plainly states, "Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy." Yet, regardless of this simple command, many Christians today insist on arguing, on maintaining a Roman Catholic tradition rather than the Word of God. Why do you think that is? Well, stay with us as we address this issue on today's program of The Armor of God. In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of The Armor of God. We're glad you could join us for today's program. What I'm going to call today's program is Defending the Sabbath. And when I say Sabbath, I'm talking about Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. Now, many in the Christian professing world believe that the Sabbath is on Sunday. But let me be clear about this. Your Bible does not back up that particular viewpoint. In fact, when you go to solely the Bible, it backs up the concept that the Sabbath is Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. Now, there are various ideas out there in the Sunday professing world as to why they believe the Sabbath is now on Sunday. And I'm going to look at one particular viewpoint in regard to that, and I'll show you that the logic is very faulty because they're trying to use Scripture to support the idea that the Sabbath is no longer Saturday, but now it is Sunday. To do this, we need to understand some things about the law. When you come into the New Testament, what Jesus did, what the apostles did through the teachings of Jesus, is they told us more about the law that we have in the Old Testament. And let me give you a particular example about that. Over in Romans chapter 2 and verse 28, it says this about circumcision. "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God." So we have information in the New Testament that gives us a different way of looking at the law about circumcision. It's now of the heart. It's through the Spirit. When we get baptized, we are, in a sense, being circumcised to God through that particular symbolic act. Unlike in the Old Testament, where they physically had to go through a procedure to be circumcised and be part of God's family. So the law hasn't changed, we just have a greater understanding of what that law was all about. Another example in the New Testament relates to sacrifices. In the Old Testament, we know about the animal sacrifices. If you read Hebrews chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 11, you find out that Jesus' sacrifice now supersedes the animal sacrifices. But here's the deal. Jesus' sacrifice is ongoing. It's perpetual into the future. Anyone who comes to believe in Jesus Christ gets that sacrifice when they make that commitment to Jesus Christ. The sacrifices are not really done away with because they live on through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And you can find that information in Hebrews chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 11. But let me make myself clear. Nowhere in the New Testament does it give you any alteration about the Sabbath law. The Sabbath law is just, we get new information about it from Jesus when he explains to the Pharisees how they were dealing with the Sabbath in the wrong way, and he establishes the fact that the Sabbath is still ongoing. One final point I'll make on that before we offer you some literature today is over in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 13, let me go ahead and turn there for you. Acts 13, I'm going to pick it up in verse 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogues sent unto them, saying, "You men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Now this is many years after Jesus' death. The apostles are continuing to go into synagogues and preach and teach on the Sabbath day. Now notice what happens further on in verse 42 of this verse. It says, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." And they came back and preached to them the next Sabbath. This is a perfect opportunity for them to tell the folks, the Sabbath has been changed. You don't have to keep it on the Saturday anymore. We can preach to you any day of the week. But they don't do that because the law had not been changed. I want to offer you some free literature and also a free CD on today's program. The literature we'd like to offer you on today's program is titled, "Did the Apostolic Church Observe the Sabbath and the Holy Days?" Read this literature and find out more as to what was happening at the time after Jesus' death with the New Testament church and the Sabbath and Holy Days. We also want to offer you the full-length sermon CD, "How to Keep Sabbath" by Wesley White. To get both of these items, all you need to do is call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can order by visiting our website. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to the website to learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast. Go to www.cgi.org. Welcome back, everybody. What we're talking about today is defending the Sabbath. And as we've established at the beginning of today's show, when we say the Sabbath, we're talking about Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. That's what we believe here at the Church of God International, that that is the Sabbath day and that God wants us to continue to observe that day, to rest on that day, and to worship on that day. Now, there are many different ideas within the Christian world about the Sabbath. Many Christians believe that the Sabbath is now on Sunday. But I want to establish the fact that that information is not in your Bible. So you've got to ask yourself, if you believe the Sabbath is on Sunday now, what are you using to support that contention? Because it is not biblically based. Now, there are people that will argue that it is biblically based. I want to look at one example today of someone who does argue that point, and we want to look at his logic and look at how he's looking at Scripture to see that it is faulty logic. Now, the individual that I'm describing right now is a fellow named Dale Ratzlaff. And Dale has written a book called Sabbath in Christ. And what he purports in this book is that since Jesus Christ has come, we now have our Sabbath rest in Jesus Christ through his sacrifice. That in other words, we don't need to keep the biblical Sabbath Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, because we are now resting in the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, and the actual Sabbath day is no longer that important. So that's what he basically says in his book, Sabbath in Christ. But the logic that he uses, the scriptural evidence he provides, is faulty and lacking. And I want to at least give you one big example of that faulty logic today. So what we will do now is we're going to take a look at an example that Ratliff provides in his book, Sabbath in Christ. If you have your Bibles handy, go ahead and turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, I'm going to pick it up there in verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was hungered and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is even Lord of the Sabbath day. Now, anywhere in here does Jesus do away with the Sabbath day? No, not at all. In fact, what he's saying is there are some circumstances by which the Sabbath will not be profaned by individuals who are actually doing things that in a typical example would be profaning the Sabbath, and that would be eating the showbread or working on the Sabbath, as the priests have to do in order to do all the things associated with the temple. Nowhere in here does he do away with the Sabbath. And Ratliff admits that nowhere in here does he do away with the Sabbath, but he believes that Jesus is starting to set up the case for moving away from the Sabbath. Now, how does he support himself in that contention? Well, he goes back to chapter 11 of Matthew, and the last three verses of Matthew 11 he uses. Let me read those verses to you so you can be the judge of this. Here's what it says in the last three verses of Matthew 11. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, what he does with those three scriptures, he says, since Jesus, we want to be in his rest, and his yoke is light, and his burden is easy, what Jesus then says when he goes into chapter 12 is that we can start to move away now from the Sabbath day because I'm easy, I'm light. You don't have to worry about keeping a particular day. But here's the deal, folks. The Sabbath isn't a problem. The Sabbath is a rest day. We are at ease on the Sabbath. There's no heavy burden on the Sabbath by keeping it. Ratliff's logic is faulty here in using the end of chapter 11 to connect it to the beginning of chapter 12. Jesus nowhere says anything about what Ratliff says in his book. You can understand this in a different way. In fact, if you read the preceding verses in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is focusing on himself and his relationship with the Father, beginning in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 11, and he's talking about having a relationship with him, and you can have rest in him, his burden is easy and light. That context is for what precedes chapter 12, what is in chapter 11. When he starts out in chapter 12, verse 1, he's starting a new dialogue here, a new context. Now, what Ratliff says, just to give him his due, is because it says in chapter 12, verse 1 of Matthew, at that time, he suggests that the wording at that time refers to what just came before in Matthew chapter 11. I can look at that time as meaning at a particular time, this particular incident happened where he had this interaction with the Pharisees. Again, nowhere in any of this does it say anything about the Sabbath being changed. That is the major point to understand here about what the New Testament record is on the Sabbath. Jesus is giving us a better understanding of how to keep the Sabbath day, how to understand the Sabbath day, because he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He was part of the creation of that law. Now, let me give you another example here of what I'm talking about with Ratliff. Notice I'm directly quoting Mr. Ratliff. He says this in his book. We can safely conclude even more than this, more than what we were just talking about, when we consider that in both Mark and Luke, this incident, the incident we just read in Matthew 12, this incident immediately follows the discussion about putting new wine into new wineskins. We get overtones of coming changes. Now, what coming changes is he talking about? That the Sabbath will no longer need to be observed the way they've observed it in the past. But once again, I put this out to you. Where in the New Testament does it say we no longer have to keep the Sabbath day? According to Ratliff, though, this information about the new wine into wineskins is telling us that he's making overtures towards a change in the Sabbath. Now, let me just say this. In Matthew, you don't read about the new wineskin section until you turn back to chapter 9 of Matthew. So the context is really not associated with chapter 12 of Matthew. But when you do go to the books of Mark and Luke, they, of course, have their chronology a little bit different as to the stories they are giving us about Jesus Christ. That's no big deal. They were different writers who were emphasizing different points. They have the same story about Jesus' interaction with the Pharisees, but right before this interaction with the Pharisees, there is what's written about the new wine into new wineskins. So let me go to Mark chapter 2. And verse 23, and let's see if there are any overtures there that the Sabbath day is going to be changing in regard to this information about putting new wine into wineskins. In Mark chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading in verse 23 there. Here's what it says. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. Same story that we read in Matthew, but here's what precedes it right behind it. I'm going to pick it up in verse 21. We just read 23. Let me pick it up in verse 21 of Mark chapter 2. No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. Then the very next verse begins the dialogue about Jesus in the cornfields and the Pharisees. Now, here's the deal. Ratliff is saying that this information about the new wineskins, you can't put them into the old wineskins, that what this is an overture towards is that the Sabbath law, the old Sabbath law, is no longer going to be observed in the new covenant time period. But ladies and gentlemen, read your Bible yourself. That is not in there. He is assuming that is what this wineskin information is about. He could also assume something differently if he reads the preceding verses in the dialogue between Jesus and the Pharisees on fasting in relation to what this new wineskin and new bottles is all about. I believe once again that the dialogue that begins with the event in the cornfield is different contextually than what precedes it in this particular narrative. You be the judge, but here's what no one can argue. Nowhere in here does it say Jesus said that the Sabbath is going to change very soon in the future, and putting new wine into old wineskins means that the Sabbath is going to be done away with. That is not here. That is what Mr. Ratliff begins to write in his book, but he is assuming that this is what it means to put new wine into new wineskins. But I would suggest that the new wine into new wineskins pertains to what Jesus had to say about the fasting when the Pharisees asked him that direct question, and then he began to speak. And we get into a new discussion when he goes into the cornfield, and now he's dialoguing with the Pharisees about that. You be the judge. You take a look at it. But let me assure you that nowhere in your New Testament does it say anything about the Sabbath day being changed or done away with, like it gives us new information about circumcision or the sacrificial law. And let me give you an emphatic statement from Matthew chapter 5 about the law. It says in Matthew 5 verse 17, this is Jesus speaking, "Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Some people think fulfill here means that he was the final limit of it, that there was no more to it. But that is not what fulfill means here. It means to expand the understanding of. It says in the next verse, and here's how we know that that is the meaning. Verse 18, Matthew 5, "For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law." The circumcision law hasn't been done away, folks. It's understood in a new way. The sacrificial law hasn't been done away. It's understood in a new way as to what the true intention of circumcision was, what the true intentions of sacrifices were, which led to Jesus Christ. The Sabbath has not been done away. Jesus expands our understanding of the Sabbath. He lets the Pharisees know that the additional points that they made to the Sabbath law were not merciful, and he sets them straight in those scriptures that we read earlier. And he does the same here in Matthew 5. He expands on points of the law relating to murder, relating to oaths. Folks, where are those laws coming from? They're coming from your Old Testament. And he says here emphatically, until heaven and earth pass away, the law will continue to be there. In fact, in the New Testament, you have a scripture that establishes the fact the Sabbath is still to be kept. You may not have seen this. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 4. Let's take a look at something in Hebrews chapter 4 in relation to the Sabbath day. And remember, folks, we're in the New Testament. We're in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 4. And I'm going to begin reading there. In verse 1, it says, "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." His rest? What's God's rest? Okay? Think about that. What is God's rest? Now, I know the 1,000-year kingdom of God is considered part of God's rest, but everyone knows God's rest is the Sabbath day. That's easily established in your Bible. Verse 2, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." He's speaking about Israel not keeping the Sabbath in the proper way, not keeping God's law in the proper way. And let me jump down to verse 4 for time purposes. In verse 4 of Hebrews 4, "For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works." Folks, what's the context here? What rest is he talking about? It tells us right in verse 4, the Sabbath day. Check verse 5. "And in this place again, if they shall enter my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after so long a time, as it is said, Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Israel hardened their hearts to God, to His law, to His Sabbath. Verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterward have spoken of another day? Notice verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And let me tell you what the Greek is. It's sabbatismos. And that means Sabbath rest. And some Bible translations will say Sabbath rest. There remains a Sabbath rest to the people of God. Because when we enter that Sabbath day rest, we understand what God has created, what He has done, who He is, and it all comes together. Jesus kept that day. The early New Testament church kept that day. We keep that day at the Church of God International, and we believe when you keep that day, you come into closer connection with the God of this universe. Now listen, folks, we offered you for some free literature on today's program. We also offered you a free CD. I want you to get that literature. I want you to get that CD because it provides more information on this topic that I'm discussing today. I've made the contention that the early New Testament church continued to keep the Sabbath day. I've made the contention that they've also kept the holy days. I want you to get the article, the little pamphlet that we provide free of charge. It's called, Did the Apostolic Church Observe the Sabbath and Holy Days? Our answer, of course, is yes to that question. And this pamphlet will provide you more detailed information on that subject. The New Testament is full of information. History is full of information that will prove, without faulty logic, that yes, they did keep the Sabbath and they did keep the holy days. We also want you to get that full-length sermon CD. It's by a fellow named Wesley White. And the CD is titled, How to Keep Sabbath. Because when we look at what we read here about how Jesus was observing the Sabbath, it was different from what the religious authorities at that time were teaching people. So we need to understand through the Bible how to keep that Sabbath day, how to keep it holy, how to stay in communion with God and with our fellow man. Get that literature, get that CD, call 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791 or order via our website, www.cgi.org. www.cgi.org. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again. Bye for now.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.